Thank you, choir. I know there's some people in Tennessee that could relate to that one right now, and some other places like that. But it tells us where the one safe place is, and that's in the hollow of His hand. Amen? Amen. Today we're going to start a series. Next Sunday is Awana Sunday, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you the new missionary couple with Awana. We've been without an Awana missionary now for about 2 years in our zone, and they are wonderful people. And it's Awana Sunday anyway, so I said, let's just have Ken Laro share the word with us, because I want you all, these are people we support, and I want you all to know who they are and know how to better be able to pray for them. But except for that, and you know, an occasional other thing like that, this is the beginning of a series we'll be doing here over the next several weeks. It's based on 1 John, and we're going to call the series Walking in Love. And today is part one, the call to fellowship. We do have a responsive reading today with the notes on the back. It's on the tan sheet in your bulletin. So if you have that, shall we stand together in honor of God's word? Now, today, unusually enough, the verses are all concurrent. So if you don't have the sheet, go to 1 John chapter 1, and you'll still be able to follow along with us. I'll read the light print. I'll ask you to read the dark print, and then I'll join you on that last verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His word. Shall we pray? Father, as we come this morning, we come with great reverence and we come with great devotion, for we understand, at least to some degree, as much as we're able to, the great love that You have had for us. And this salvation, it was purchased at a great price through Your love for us. And so You talked to us about the love You have for us, and then You talk about the love that You desire that we should have for one another. And so, Lord, in these next few weeks, I just pray that You'll work in our hearts, Lord, do an inner work in us, that we would be sure that we really are walking in fellowship with You every day, not just attending church and going through the outward motions, and that we are walking in fellowship with each other. This is Your plan, and it is possible. It's not only possible, it is ordained and ordered by You because of the great love You have already shown us. So I pray You will open our hearts to Your word and help us to know individually what things need to be fixed in our lives, not by some outward source, but by the work of Your Holy Spirit and Your word in our own hearts. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes to Your truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So today we start the book of John. It's only 5 chapters. It's only 105 verses. It's written in very simple language, and yet it is one of the most profound books that I know in the Bible and in the New Testament. And it can be studied over and over and over again, and will never exhaust everything that God has to tell us through this little book from John. You know, John, they say, was great on this love thing. He kind of listened when Jesus said that, you know, I want you to love one another. And I'm sure the other disciples were listening. But this became a lifelong thing with John. And he was always saying to God's people, little children, love one another. I don't know if it's true, but they claim it when he was really old and couldn't walk anymore. The young men would carry him to the church meetings. And when it was his turn to speak, he would just say, little children, love one another. However that may be, God used him to pen these words. And so I hope they'll be a blessing to us. And you might want to do some of your devotional times in 1 John during these times. I don't know about you, but I find that I have a slow absorption rate. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can get the words down. I can even get the Greek meanings. I can get all that stuff. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about absorbing the Word of God, where it actually becomes a part of us and becomes a part of who we are. And it is by continually looking in the Word and gazing in the Word that over time, it's kind of like anybody ever burned an image into something? But it takes a while. But once it's done, it's done. Amen? And that's how it happens with us. So the more we spend, you know, we tend to like, as long as we know the facts of it, we think we've mastered it. But that's not how the Word of God works. And God's Word is to be absorbed, not just known and dissected and all of that. It's to actually be absorbed. So that would be my prayer for us. The word fellowship only occurs in the opening verses of the book, but it occurs four different times in the opening verses of the book. And the Greek word, of course, is koinonia. And many of you have probably heard that word. Some of the translations for that word are fellowship, association, sharing, intimacy, community, communion, joint participation, anything you do together. And this is the word that the early church used for fellowship. Now, fellowship, in the general sense, isn't limited to the Christian faith. It isn't limited to spiritual things. Anybody that has a membership in the same club and they have the same interests and they do the same things together and they talk the same things together, they experience fellowship. They're just not experiencing Christian fellowship, because Christian fellowship is based on the work and person of Christ. So Christian fellowship goes further. But the world does have a sort of fellowship. And you think of these fraternities and stuff, and I notice that college guys are always talking about those college days and the fraternities and all that. And what are they remembering? They're remembering the fellowship. You know, even the guys down at the pool hall, they have their own peculiar type of fellowship. Those guys down at the bowling alley, they have their own particular kind of fellowship. Those guys that are in the hunting club, they have their own particular kind of fellowship. Those geeks that get together and talk about gigabytes and stuff, they have their own particular type of fellowship. But we are called to a greater and a superior fellowship, because it is indeed based on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John starts out basically saying, what I'm getting ready to share, I am sharing firsthand knowledge. I'm not sharing hearsay. I'm sharing what I have seen and touched and heard and gazed on and witnessed and know firsthand, what I know firsthand. And that's the way it is. If you want to share Christ, you better be able to share firsthand and not just know the Scripture verses. Yes, you need to know the Scripture verses, but you also need to be able to say, and I know this is true because it's happened in my own life, and this is what the Lord wants to do for you. So we share best about the things that we know firsthand. So he says, he starts right out and says, you know, it's what's firsthand. And what we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. So we're sharing this with you because we want you to have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, one thing you'll notice about John and his book is that he always mentions them together, because they're inseparable. It was John who wrote in his gospel the words of Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father or approaches the Father except by me. So that's why he always mentions them together, because he wants everybody to understand that our fellowship with the Father, you can't have fellowship with the Father without having come through Jesus first and had fellowship with Him first. Because He's the one who died for you, and He's the one who shed His blood for you, and He's the one that has cleansed you of your sin and made you fit and even able to have fellowship with the Father. There is no such thing as saying, I know God unless you know Jesus as Savior and Lord. You can know about God and you can know a lot about Him, but you can't have fellowship with God because God only allows us to approach Him through the offices of His Son and the blood that He shed. Now, we have here a few definitions, and I thought about putting blanks there, but I decided not to. Number one, to walk in love. He talks about walking in love. And I'm giving you some definitions. I believe it means to live daily and continually in full fellowship with God and each other. In the context of this book, that's what love is. It's walking daily in full fellowship with God and with each other. Number two, he talks about walking in the light. To walk in the light is to live continually in full fellowship with God and each other in accordance with God's truth as revealed in His Word. And I add that there because apart from the Word of God, you know, anything, if we're walking, because His, how many have heard that verse? Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a what? Light to my path. So light is synonymous of God's truth. And God's truth is only revealed one place on this planet, and it's right here. This is the flashlight that pierces through the spiritual darkness and that pierces through the misconceptions and the misunderstandings and the lies and the fakery and the falsehood and everything else that divides down to the sinews, which is a discerner of the hearts of men and that casts light on everything. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now that's the Word of God. So to walk in the light is to walk in God's in full fellowship based on the Word of God. Well, there's so much else there, you know. We can't walk in fellowship with God again unless we come through His Son and so forth. So, but that's what it means. And we can't walk in the light also if we're not walking in fellowship with each other. And He makes this very plain. In his book. Also, on the issue of light, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 3, right after John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And then here's what it says. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So folks, we cannot have fellowship with either God or each other when we're hiding. The first thing that Adam and Eve tried to do after they had disobeyed the Lord, what were the first things? They wanted to cover themselves with some kind of little flimsy fig leaf bikinis or something that they had made for themselves. And then, when he heard the voice of the Lord, he went and hid. And we've been hiding ever since. And so, the only way we can have fellowship with each other is to come out into the light of God's truth, the light of God's Word. Let light be shown and reveal what it will reveal, because the Lord, whatever it reveals, the Lord has something for that. I don't care how many ugly bugs are revealed, when the light of the Lord is shown on you, He's got the raid. Remember those commercials? And the bugs go, right? He's got, but those things, until they're gone, we'll never walk in fellowship. And so he says, the light's come, but the problem is men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. If there's anything the devil hates, it's exposure. For whoever lives by the truth, here it is, comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. So the basis of fellowship then, to a certain degree, is the Word of God. Because until we come under the authority of the Word of God, we will not have fellowship with God, and we will not have genuine fellowship with each other as the Word of God defines it. And, of course, number three, to walk in darkness is to live in broken fellowship with God and each other in a manner contrary to God's truth as revealed in His Word. And apparently, from what John writes, it is possible for people to think that they're walking in the light when they're actually not. They mistake going to church and doing certain things for walking in the light. But walking in the light is walking in full fellowship with God and with each other. Are you walking in the light today? And he says, when we walk in the light as he is in the light. Woo! How bright do you think that is? When we walk in the light as he is in the light of God's truth, and openly, not hidden, with nothing to hide, then what happens? It's in verse 7. What happens? Huh? Who's saying it? I heard it. I heard somebody say it. We have fellowship with each other, but only when we come into the light. Then we have fellowship with each other. And what else? The blood of Jesus. Now we're going to talk about more about that on another day. But one of the main reasons there isn't fellowship is unresolved sin issues. And so when we come to the light, those issues are resolved precisely because they are brought into the light and they are dealt with. And then when they are dealt with, we're able to have fellowship. I have said this before and I'll say it again. But to walk in a victorious Christian life is not a matter of never messing up. Now I'm going to ask it right now. Is there anybody here that will raise your hand? Listen carefully. Is there anybody here that will raise your hand and say, I've never messed up once since I accepted Jesus? Is there anybody that will raise your hand and say, I've never messed up once? Living victoriously is not a matter of never messing up. Living victoriously is a matter of walking in the light of God's Word, and when we do mess up, confess it, repent, receive cleansing, and go on. Amen. And that is victory. And he makes it so plain. He says, I write this so you won't sin, but if you do, we've got a defender, and we've got one who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So my dear friend, the enemy is always looking to put a guilt trip on you. He is always looking to tell you that because you did this or you did that, you're probably a phony and never were saved anyway. Well, I can't address that. Only you know that for sure. But I do know this. Jesus died for that sin. And I do know that it says that if we confess our sins, meaning in true repentance, if we confess our sins, it says he is faithful and just. That means he'll do the right thing and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad? And so that's how we walk in fellowship. Not that we never mess up, but that when we do mess up, we receive the cleansing, we receive the forgiveness, and fellowship is restored. And if it's done quick enough, it's basically uninterrupted. So if you're carrying something, don't carry it with you a month and then finally get so under conviction that you then fess up to the Lord. And I mean, that's a wonderful thing, but it would have been a lot better to do it in the first 24 hours. Can I hear an amen?
Amen!
All right. The basis of our fellowship. Now, this is what he describes here in chapter 1. The basis of our fellowship with God is, now we come to the blanks, the person of Christ, his character, atoning work, meaning his death on the cross, and his intercessory office on our behalf. That is the basis of Christian fellowship, and that is what separates Christian fellowship from these other kinds of fellowship I was talking about earlier. If you're a man and your wife doesn't know Jesus as Savior, you cannot have Christian fellowship with her. You can share a lot of things, and you can have a lot of things in common, but you cannot have Christian fellowship with her, because the basis for Christian fellowship is the person of Christ, his death on the cross, and his intercessory work for us. That is the basis of all Christian fellowship. If you are a woman and your husband is unsaved, you are not able to have Christian fellowship with your husband. You can share a lot of things in common, and you can love each other and all that, but you can't have Christian fellowship. Understood? Can't do it. If you have a relative or somebody you love a lot, you can have a lot of things in common. But if they don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, you cannot have Christian fellowship with them. So, the basis of our fellowship with God is the person of Christ, his character, his atoning work, his intercessory office in our behalf. And the basis of our fellowship with each other is our common faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, when I say Lord and Savior, I mean Lord, as in Lord, and Savior, as in only Savior from our sins. And that is the basis of Christian fellowship, whether it's here or in Taliabu, Indonesia, Philippines, Alaska, wherever it may be. What is the nature of our fellowship with God? The nature of it is restored relationship, access, and open communication through Christ and his atoning blood. Because we cannot have... You ever heard people talk about being on the same wavelength? You ever heard people talk about being on the same page? We can't have fellowship with the Father unless we're on the same page. And we can't be on the same page unless we've come through His Word and through His Son and come the way that He said. So that's the nature of our fellowship is restored relationship. How much do you enjoy your relationship with Jesus? How much do you enjoy your relationship with your Heavenly Father? And whatever the real answer to that question is a pretty good barometer of your spiritual growth. How much do you enjoy? Do you dread coming to church? Come on, I'm not going to ask for any hands on that one. Sometimes we dread coming to church not because of the Lord, but because of that person in the pew. But this book addresses that too. But how much do you enjoy your relationship with the Lord when you're not at church? Or do you even have a relationship with the Lord? Or do you have a weekend relationship with the Lord? Have I stopped preaching now? Or started preaching? But it's restored relationship. And we should be in that relationship. I mean, it should just be like we're pretty much talking with Him all day long, and we enjoy. And when we don't have it, we miss it. You know, things got real, real busy. Lord, I hadn't talked to you for a little bit. Lord, here I am. I'm back. Let's pick up the conversation where we left off. It's restored relationship. It's access. Do you understand that because of the blood Jesus shed and that was sprinkled in the most holy place in heaven, that is why your prayers can actually be received and accepted at the throne of the universe? Think of that. And then with each other. What is the nature of that? Our partnership. The nature of our Christian fellowship with each other is our partnership in all the shared benefits and provisions of His boundless grace. Our partnership in all the shared benefits and provisions of His boundless grace. And if you want to refresh your course on just what those are, read Ephesians 1, 1 to 13. And of course, the rest of the New Testament. But it's what we share in common in the Lord. And how great are the benefits? How great are the provisions of His boundless grace? And that's what we share. Now, what is the result? Let me go back now. We've looked at a couple of these, so let me go back to verse 2. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may what? Have fellowship with us. Who is our fellowship with? And our fellowship is, some translations add the word truly or indeed here, is truly with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. Now the translators can't agree. Some say it says our joy, and others say that it says your joy. Either way, who really cares? Let's make it our joy. As in yours and ours. All of ours. How about for some southern talk? All of our joy. How? Complete. Full. Completed. It's the Greek word for completion. You know, nothing missing. The full, you know, there's a song I love on the Memphis CD from the Gaither group. I don't want to miss a thing. And let me tell you, the whole thing, like we say, the whole ball of wax, to the fullest extent. So he says, I'm writing these things so that our joy will be complete. So what is the result of fellowship? Full fellowship with the Father, full fellowship with each other. What is the result of it? Joy. That's what goes in the blank there. Joy. Boundless, continuous, inexpressible, unending joy. How much joy is there in the world? We come in here at Christmas time and we say, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Is that the way you're living all year? Then do we go out and live that way the rest of the year? But joy comes from full, satisfying fellowship in true, undissolvable relationships. And it begins with our relationship with the Lord, and then it extends to relationships with the body of Christ and with other believers. And that is where the joy comes from. Now, how many here know who Dr. Phil is? Maybe I should ask it differently. Is there anybody here that doesn't know who Dr. Phil is? The one on TV. All right, let's try again. How many here know who Dr. Phil is? All right? I don't have anything against Dr. Phil, because I think Dr. Phil has helped a lot of people with a lot of things and to resolve a lot of issues. But that's not what I want to mention. Have you looked at the people he has on his show? Do any of them have joy? By the very nature of what he does, the people that come on Dr. Phil's show to a person are people who are living in broken fellowship. And you can see it on their faces. And you can hear it in their voices. And you can see the pain. And you can see the hurt. And you can see the anger. And in some cases, the arrogance. And the cynicism. But are any of them happy? And are any of them bubbling up with joy? Because they're living in broken relationships. And that is really all that fellowship is. It is relationships as the Lord intended them to be. First with Him, and then with each other.
Amen.
And when there is that full fellowship, think of the happiest times in your lives, right? I visit a lot of people. Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, we had a big extended family, and about 60 of us would get together, and we just had the most wonderful time. Even in our old age, we remember the times when we had a lot of good what? Fellowship. And there's way too many Christians living in broken relationship, in broken fellowship with their husbands, with their wives, with their children, with their parents. Listen to me, young people. Sometimes we think when we're young, it's a badge of honor to declare our independence or whatever. But let me tell you something. That isn't what the Word teaches, and that isn't what the Word wants. The Lord wants you to be able to have fellowship with mom and dad. And when couples can't get along, it's just because one wants this and one wants this, and neither one will budge, right? Now, I realize if one isn't going to budge, and if they're doing something that's so terrible that it's putting the other person in danger or something, then probably they've got to part ways. But that's never a happy thing. Amen?
Amen.
And it certainly doesn't bring joy. And it certainly doesn't bring joy to the heart of the Lord. So the Christian life, really, in the end, it pretty much comes down to fellowship. Full fellowship with God, full fellowship with each other, based on the truth of God's Word and resulting in wonderful joy. And if you don't know Jesus, you do not yet know joy. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your love, because we really didn't want you, and we had turned our own way and gone our own direction, and we weren't really interested in coming back to you. And yet you loved us so much, you put a cross in our way and you said, stop. And this is how much I love you. And I've taken your sin and your pain and your guilt, and I've put it on my Son, and I've caused Him to die for you and be slain for you and pay the penalty for your sin so you can be restored to relationship with me. And I don't want you to live eternally separated from me, but rather in full fellowship with me, beginning right now and then extending through eternity. And I want you to know the joy that comes from that kind of fellowship. So, Lord, today, call us to fellowship, first with you, and then with our brother and with our sister. And it's all based on the blood of Jesus. It's all based on what He did. And therefore, it is available to every single one of us. So, Lord, today, work in our hearts. If there's some relationship that needs mending, let us begin now to look for the ways to mend it. If there's something we're harboring and we haven't forgiven it, Lord, help us to just start searching right now for the help from you to forgive it as you have forgiven us, so that there can be some fellowship restored. This is what pleases you. It's what brings joy to you. And if we experience it and go along with it, it's what will bring joy to us. Now, Lord, we thank you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
During this closing hymn, if you have anything on your heart, feel free to come forward. If it's a sin issue, a salvation issue, or if it's just a praise, feel free to come and share it during this closing hymn.